Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Meeting people where they are. Tonight, the story that we deal with in the little time that we have left, it's a story, as I said, of a young man by the name of Philip. Philip one day was about God's business, and he was just out about. And a eunuch came to his direction. And what a eunuch is in essence a minister of finance. Ethiopian, African. And this was a person that was in a wonderful position, and they were responsible for the finances of Candace, who is the mother queen. Like Pharaoh is the king, Candace is the queen. And so he traveled a great distance just so he can go to worship. Think about that. He leaves Africa, Ethiopia, where they are into witchcraft. And he travels this great distance because he wants to hook up with some folk who's talking about they believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. On his journey, he goes to church, worship, tabernacle. And he's coming back. He went to church, got a word, and didn't understand what he got. And so on his way home, as his little entourage is going about, he began to read a scroll, what we would call a Bible today. And he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. Well, Isaiah says, you know, there's going to come a man, and he's just going to be like a dumb, just a dumb lamb, and he's going to be led to the shears. And he's not even going to realize that they're taking him to kill him. In essence, what he's saying is that Jesus is going to come, and he's going to face the cross. He's going to go to the cross because of our sins, and he won't even say a mumbling word. Yeah. He won't even say, but it's not me that said, it's Brother Charles that said. So what he does, he drinks the cup of all of us. And he doesn't want to say, now, Charles, you remember what I did for you? Not him. Because out of love, he's saying, this is what I got to do for you. This is what I got to do for mankind. I got to die so that you can have life. Now, because he said that, here comes Philip. And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, of course not. Do you ever get stuck in the Bible?
Yes.
Thus said the Lord, whereby and hither, and you like, who, what you talking about? And so it was one of those days where he said, I've been to church, but I still don't understand what they were talking about. Paul says about the gospel that the gospel is a simple gospel. So if the gospel is simple, it takes an educated preacher to mess it up. I don't need to impress you with my words. I need to say to you, not what thus said the Lord out of here. But what's important is that we understand, what does this have to do with me in 2011? Don't you get tired of going to church and folk tell you that the Lord's going to make a way and he did this for Peter and Paul and James? And you say, well, where's he in my life? And so what Philip is teaching us is that you got to evangelize the people. You got to meet people where they are. And so what he did, he went to this guy and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, of course not. You come up with me, come sit in my chair, come ride with me, and come explain the gospel to me. Now go use big words, because I don't get that. Just tell me what this has to do with me today. Meet me where I am. Yeah, I smell like liquor, but can you talk to me? You know, I've been smoking, but can you overlook that and love me like you say about this Jesus that you serve, that he loves so much? So are you going to get hung up on where I am, or are you going to meet me where I am?
Amen.
And see, that's what God wants us to do. Evangelism is about meeting folk where they are. If their location is okay, you don't have to go and get them. How can you save someone lost else unless you're willing to go where they are. And so what he's saying is that, okay, fine. I'll come where you are. I'll meet you where you are. And so here, this eunuch, he says to him, you know, come up, come up. Hey, what are you reading? And he says, I'm reading the prophet Isaiah. And he says, but I can't explain it in verse number 31. I don't understand what all of this is about. Now, verse 32 says the place of the scripture which he read was this. You see that? He being Jesus. Now, Jesus was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a what? That was also
dumb.
So here is Jesus walking like he don't even know where he's going. You ever find yourself in a position and people think they're getting over on you, but you see them?
Yeah.
But I got to go through this anyway.
Yeah.
See, when you understand, but I got to go through this anyway, what you understand is that God is giving you a spirit of discernment. Now, what discernment does is allow you to see. It's your third eye. It's your faith. So I walk by faith and not by sight. I see what you're trying to do, but I also know that God has his hands in this thing. And see, when God is ordering your step, I'm not worried about falling to my left or to my right, because I know God is taking me to the other side. I may have to go through something to get over there, but you better believe we are going to make it to the other side. In the midst of you going through something, you got to know that God is not going to take you in the middle of something and drop you off.
All right.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. All right.
Thank you.
So he says, what are you reading? And so he begins to explain to him that here's Jesus just walking. In verse number 32. In his what? In his humiliation. Keep reading. Listen, sometimes what's going on in your life, it's people who's hating on you, trying to humiliate you, trying to scandalize your name. That's what they're doing to you. Because you keep coming to church, come out of God that you serve. And they're saying, if this God is so good, why you getting laid off? If this God is so good, why you got cancer? If this God is so good, why your children going through this? If this God is so good, why is all this stuff happening to you? And you know, sometimes the answer is, all of this is happening because God is trying to disconnect me from you. Because he's disconnected from me, pushing me to a place, and it feels hot sometimes, but I was equipped. I was born to stand this fire. Baby, you better believe I'm not going to burn, but you can't handle where I'm going. So we got to disconnect so that I can go a little higher, a little further in the Lord.
Thank you, God.
And so things happen. And you feel humiliated by it. You're going through something, and you know everybody in town knows your business. Everybody knows your situation. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes they know your situation, don't even take the time to learn your name. They just want to know your mess. They don't care how you feel. They don't care what you need. They just want to know your stuff. And sometimes God will expose and allow them to see your stuff so that when God brings you out, when God brings you through, look what the Lord just look what the Lord has done. I know you can't touch me right now, so just look at what the Lord has done. Yeah, God saved me, rescued me, delivered me, and I know you want to take it away, but just look what the Lord has done. See, God has a plan for your life. When God created you, he had purpose in mind. And because God has purpose in mind, you got to know that Satan is going to come after you. But don't be afraid of what he's trying to do. Because the truth of the matter is, it's not even about you. It's about the God that you serve. See, because Satan knows that the God that is inside of you, he's going to keep on making a way out of no way for you. He's going to keep on healing you. He's going to keep on paying the bills. He's going to keep on doing what he promised to do. So if he can stop your faith, if he can stop you from believing, if he can change your focus, then he got you.
Yeah.
Bible declares, but seek ye first the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is not a place, but what do you want me to do? What is your will for me? Because whatever you will for me, baby, I want it. It may cause me something, but I want it. I may have to go through something, but I want what you want for me. And because what you want for me is much greater than what I want for myself, God, I'm in it. You can count me in. I may stumble sometimes, but you can count me in. I may fall short sometimes, but you can count me in. Some folks may walk out on me, but you can count me in, because I'm gonna run the race that is set before me. You gotta know that God will put you in the right place to make the right contact. See, God knew who was coming by. And so he put Philip right in the line so that he can be in contact with somebody that needs to be saved. See, there's some folk in your life that you've been trying to share the good news, and God disconnect you from the folk, and you wonder why they're gone. It's because God is saying they just don't get it. They just stiff necks. Don't even worry about it. Baby, don't you spend all your time trying to save everybody. And somebody said to me, well, why shouldn't you save everybody? And I always say to them, if the Jesus died on the cross, at some point you have to say, it is finished. I'm not going to worry about you no more. I'm not going to loan you any more money. I'm not going to stay up all night on the phone with you. It is finished. Yeah. It is finished. Now the consequence of him meeting the eunuch was three parts. The first one is that as a result of him talking to him, he begins to explain the scripture to him. And then what the scripture was saying is that Jesus is coming. And so the eunuch want to know, is this Jesus or is somebody else coming? He said, no, this is him right here. This is the one that's going to come. And he says, if you just believe, you can have eternal life. And so as they rode down the little dirt road, then they looked, and the eunuch looked out of his chariot, and he saw some water. And he says, hey, wait a minute, stop up there. He says, what stopped me from getting out of this chair and being baptized right here? I see a little puddle of mud right here. If I can go down right here, God will do the lifting in my life. If I can go down right here, God will raise me up again. I dare you to take your little self, your little ego down, and watch God raise something up in you. I dare you to try. I dare you to be born again. And so he says, what stopped me from being baptized right here? And so they got down, and when they got down, he was baptized, and the Bible declares that he came up out of the water and he was rejoicing, because he understood everything that he had meant absolutely nothing in comparison to what he just got. And that was, he got a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, what he did was met the man where he was. He didn't say, I'm better than you, I'm smarter than you. He says, do you understand? And see, that's the world sometimes. They don't understand why you still won't go down. See, for you say, I'm going to walk by faith. But to them, they saying, you know what? I tried everything to kill this person, to knock them down. It seems like the harder I hit them, the quicker they bounce up. See, you got a spring inside of you called the Holy Spirit. And so every time somebody punch you, you just get back up again. I need for you to understand about yourself. You were created for comeback after comeback, for victory after victory, for turnaround after turnaround. They think they knocked you out. No, baby, you didn't knock me out. You just made me mad. That's all you did. Now I'm coming back. I'm going to pray a little longer. I'm going to pray a little harder. You didn't stop me. You just got me all cranked up right now. You didn't do anything to me. So he gets up, and as he get up, he's been baptized, and now the Bible says he depart, and he is rejoicing in the Lord. Now, when you begin to rejoice in the Lord, in closing, it doesn't mean that you won't have another bad day. But what you understand that is, in spite of your good days and your bad days, somebody wrote a song that says, you know, my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Listen to this. I'm going to go through something. I'm going to have some bad days. But I know my good days is going to outweigh my bad days. I may be down and out today, but you watch me come back. You watch me bounce back up. You watch the God that I serve. You watch him turn me around. You watch the God that I serve go place my feet on solid ground. You watch the God that I serve. Everything you try to take from me, walk out. You watch God replace it 3 times, 4 times. You watch the God, because I know that he's able. Have you ever been down on your land and God steps in your life? Will he make a way out of no way? Will he turn your situations off? You gotta know it. Have you ever tried it? God will pick you up. God will turn you around. God will put a hand of protection all around you. You gotta know. You gotta know. When you know the God that you serve, what you understand is that I'm abiding in him and he's abiding in me, and every little step that I take in life, there he is right there by my side. Even when I make a boo-boo and I slip and fall, he's still carrying me. He picks me up anyway. And so even when I can't walk any further, he says, don't worry about it. I got you. I got to get on my back. Get in my wheel. I got you. I carry you straight on through. See, we keep looking at our shortcomings, and God is saying, boy, I ain't thinking about your shortcomings. I ain't thinking about the vices in your life. I ain't thinking about your sin. I got a big old purpose for you. Come on aboard. Let's do this thing together. Come on aboard. Let's turn this world upside down. Come on aboard. Let's begin to evangelize. Come on aboard. Tell somebody about the goodness of God. God got a plan. God got a plan for you. And you got to know that God has a plan. In closing, I say this. God has a plan for you. And what you cannot believe in your life is that you got to play catch up with God. It's something about the love of God that he can't add very well. And so what love does is make him begins to multiply 2-fold, 100-fold, and he begins to turn that thing around. And the little stuff that they took, God says, I'm going to multiply that. That's why I told you earlier to give what it is that you need. When you put the seed, he begins to multiply. You needed $100 coming in. He said, no, that's not good enough for you. You're my child. $100 is not it. I want you to have $1,000. So somewhere, he just opened the door. You got to know that God is a miracle working God. You got to know. He's a miracle working God. Come on and stand in the presence of the Lord tonight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to speak to someone here tonight. Someone that doesn't know Christ as your personal Savior. I know the atmosphere is set. I know it's been charged. I know praise and worship set fire to something in here. All you have to do is just step out and walk into the atmosphere. If you're here tonight and you don't have a church home, you're here tonight, you're not sure about your salvation, it's you that we speak to, and it's you that we beg and say, come unto him right now.